Scott Lewis of New Haven spent 19 years in prison for a double murder he didn't commit. For two decades, Lewis worked to prove his innocence. He won his release in 2014, and all charges were dropped. And then the struggle to rebuild his family and get justice from the city began. Lewis's story is the subject of a new documentary that will debut this weekend. It's called 120 Years, The Scott Lewis Story. Scott Lewis joins me here in the studio along with the documentary team, Matt Nadell, the director, Lucas Cox, co-creator and director of photography, and producer Kira Anamanini. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
I'll start with Mr. Lewis. Your arrest and conviction were centered on a corrupt city detective, evidence that had been withheld, and a police chief who failed to discipline his officers. Could you tell us about your case?
In a nutshell, things that were going on in the city of New Haven, and that the officers and the detectives were allowed to do to people like myself, were going unchecked and unsupervised by local officials. And as a result of that, I lost 19 years of my life. And that is the product of this film.
And how did you end up making a documentary?
I think I'll let Kara answer that question.
Absolutely. Basically, I was reading the New Haven Register and came across an article saying that some man, Scott Lewis, had just won almost $10 million in a lawsuit. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that's interesting. Where is New Haven going to come up with this money? That was my first angle. Then I thought, okay, this article doesn't encompass everything that needs to be heard. So I emailed Scott Lewis, not expecting anything of it, saying, I'd like to chat with you. I think a film could come out of your story. He emails me back within 20 minutes saying, I'm in. That was about a year ago, and for the last year, the three of us have been working very closely with Scott to produce this film.
Mr. Lewis, in the film, you say that you told yourself that you were not in prison, you were at work. What did you mean by that?
Well, I found myself fighting for my life. I realized that I didn't want to die. So I said the only way I was going to really stay alive is to just work at being free. So that became my full-time job.
Stefan Morant was also arrested and convicted of the crime along with you. Is he part of the documentary?
Yes, Matt can speak to that.
Sure. So this documentary centers around Scott Lewis's story, of course, but any conversation about that story would be incomplete without Stefan. So he is a part of the documentary. His story has, in terms of its progress, it's in a bit of a different place than Scott's. So Stefan certainly plays a critical role in the film in terms of the way we look at wrongful conviction, the way that we see Scott's case as one potential outcome and Stefan's as maybe a different one.
Now, along with the documentary, Mr. Lewis, what other work are you doing?
Well, I'm currently a real estate broker. I have two offices here in Connecticut, one located in Avon, Connecticut, the other in Wallingford, Connecticut. And I just decided, you know what, prior to this happening to me, I was transforming into that real estate career as a young 23-year-old. So after finishing the job of winning my freedom, it was the next best thing to do. It was something that I knew, and it was something that I was still passionate about because I wanted to find a way to touch people's lives in a positive way. That was my outlet, and I figured, hey, pick up where you left off. Don't let the previous 20 years or 19 years define who I was destined to become. So I'm still working toward that aim.
20 years of your life taken away. Are you angry?
Lucas.
Oh, man. I mean, I can't answer whether or not Scott's angry. I will say one thing that we were so amazed by in working with Scott is, and obviously Scott can speak to this, but just his remarkable ability to forgive, to let the past be, and to move on with his life almost to in a crazy extent. From my personal standpoint, Matt and I, when we were editing this film, we kept on saying to ourselves, he has reason to be very, very angry, not the least of which at the officer who framed you, Scott, but also, as we were saying, that kind of the whole apparatus, the police apparatus that allowed you to stay in jail for so long wrongfully. But obviously, Scott, I'm sure you can speak to that more than I can.
Yeah, let me add to that. You know, a lot of people that I sit and talk with about this particular story, that's one of the things that they hark on. It's like, how can you not be so angry? And just seeing people go through challenging situations in their lives and becoming angry about it, I came to the conclusion that it really does no good for me to be angry, you know, because I have to work through it. The fact that I'm angry and staying stuck in anger is not going to get me where I need to be or where I want to go. So I kind of channeled that anger into more of an emotion of determination to win my freedom, to get justice, and continue to, you know, want to live and touch people's lives in a different type of way.
Lucas, why did you call it 120 years?
It's a great question. The film's title refers to Scott's original sentence, which was a life sentence for 120 years. And as we kind of tell in the film, one of the craziest parts and kind of one of the reasons why we called it this is that the original sentence was actually 240 years. So it was an illegal sentence that a court had to overturn and move down to 120 years. So even though that seems like a semantic difference, as Scott has related to us, the feeling of getting your timesheet every 6 months and seeing, you know, your release eligibility date is, you know, 2100 or whatever. For us, that title kind of captured just how monumental of a sentence that was and how much of it's all of your life, but it's all and more. It's 120 years. So we felt that that was kind of the best way to do it.
Mr. Lewis, what impact do you hope this film will have on viewers?
Well, my hope is that people would hold authorities that are in charge of public safety accountable when they actually put the public at risk. What I mean by that is if you put two people in jail for crimes that you know they did not commit, and when I say you know that they did not commit, it speaks to we were intentionally framed. So it wasn't a case of like mistaken identity or human error. This was an intentional act by a corrupt police officer that authorities came to realize were intentional acts, but yet they chose not to do anything about it. So in my opinion, that puts the public at risk. So it's not just about a wrongful conviction, but it's more so about public safety on a larger level, if you ask me. So I think that people need to become keenly aware of that, you know, that this is just not somebody who went to jail for 20 years, but this is also a situation where the police allowed the true perpetrators to remain in a public society for 20-something years and still refuse to kind of pursue the true perpetrators. So public safety is a big issue, and I think people need to put that type of pressure on the people in charge to look at these wrongful convictions as public safety matters.
120 years, the Scott Lewis story, will debut this Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Henry R. Luce Hall in New Haven. Scott Lewis, Matt Nadell, Lucas Cox, and Kira Annamanini, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Having us.
Thanks.